So this is not the last session, but it's the last session for Leanne, because she can't be here at the last session in 2 weeks. So we're going to bid her adieu as a group. And hopefully everyone else is listening to this. And we'll say goodbye to Leanne.
I'll be with my coaching community in retreat for the annual retreat. So we're
just going to have a party for the last session.
Yeah,
I'll send you all a bottle of champagne or something like that. I'll drink.
I prefer red wine, just so you know.
Yeah, I do too, in fact. So, excuse me. Okay. So I want to talk about a few things in terms of the larger scope of marketing, and also a focus thing about marketing that I've been talking about. I had a long talk with Sarah about this last night, so she almost doesn't have to hear this because I went over it with her, and I'll get to that in a minute. So if you break down marketing, there's big chunks, and you can chunk it down God knows how many ways, but I like to chunk it down in terms of actual projects, things that are done, things that are in place, things that you can use, tools that you have, and have enough confidence that you can take those things and you can fine-tune them and you can upgrade them and you can morph them, et cetera, et cetera. So the first one is the marketing message. So I'm not going to give you a tutorial on any of these, just to remind you. So if you have a piece of paper, I'd like you to score yourself on these. Just, you know, it's a sort of a quick and dirty, not ultra scientific process, but if you scored yourself from 1 to 10, or heck, you could even give yourself from 0 to 10. I can't tell you how many people say, I still don't know my marketing message. But anyway, so marketing message, you know, you score a 10 if any time asks you what you do, you can say something that hooks their attention. So which is a pretty high gradient. It's not just having a marketing message, it's the ability to use a marketing message that can engage someone. Not necessarily sell them, because not everyone you talk to is going to be a potential client. But what is something that hooks them? What is what hits a nerve? Or what is exciting and interesting? You know, not everybody needs to use a problem-oriented audio logo or message. Leanne, you're not using a problem-oriented one, are you?
Well, yeah, in places on my website, yeah, about reducing suffering.
Reducing suffering, right.
But the primary one is increased strength, flexibility, and equanimity.
Yeah, and that's kind of interesting. So whatever it is, this is not something unless the one you use now really works. You know, I'm always playing with my thing. And also, you know, it's related to headlines on your site. It's related to your whole marketing message of who your clients are, what the problem is, what your solution is, what your stories are, explaining how your services work. All of that is of a piece. And even if you don't get the perfect, you know, 5 or 6 or 7 perfect words, as long as you can explain it in a way that people are not left with understanding what you do. Understanding is fine. People are left with a desire to know more. See, someone once said that understanding is the booby prize, and I think it sort of fits in with this particular conversation. See, if somebody, oh, I really understand what you do, Robert, but it's no interest in finding out more and how it could help you, then it's not really useful. So that's why the hook is there, and why marketing messages that hit an emotional response or a visceral response or a body response or, you know, seeing a new possibility, whatever it is, because everyone's is a bit different, then you've got something that can work. I changed the heading for my website, that is the tagline on my website, and Action Plan Marketing for Independent Professionals, Finding Your Own Authentic Marketing Voice. So it only took me 30 years to come up with that.
I noticed said on the emails when it changed. I'm like, oh, it's not attracting your ideal clients. I think that's what it was before, right? Something like that.
But the first sentence, action plan marketing, works with independent professionals like you to find your own authentic marketing voice and to attract more of your ideal clients.
But on the emails, on the newsletter, I think you just really notice the finding your authentic
voice.
And I would hope that was attracted my attention.
You know, I've been using attracting more clients since the dawn of time, the dinosaur age, right? But I don't know what happened. Something happened that, I was talking to someone or doing something that just sort of clicked with me. And the people that are applying for my marketing coaching right now they're in that sweet spot that they want to have an authentic marketing voice. They want to be able to communicate authentically. Now, people have always wanted that to some degree, but it raises the level of attention of that particular message, and that ultimately gets me the kind of clients. I always get great clients that are aligned with me because my messages seem to communicate that way, but I wanted to make it more overt. So this is something we can keep thinking about and keep reflecting on, because it's all about what is resonating within the mind of my client. Might sound good on paper, but it's not resonating in the mind of your client. It's really not doing much. And I've seen all kinds of messages. Some are clever, some are funny, some are startling, some are whatever. Who cares? There's all kinds of format. The thing is, do your clients go, wow? So now, in my very limited amount of networking, I haven't used it yet. Very limited, like once a month. So I'm going to try that next. You know, I use my little networking group to experiment with things like that. So I'll say that and see if people go, oh, that's cool, or not. It's working on the website. Okay, the next piece of marketing, the big chunk, and it's a big one, is articles, especially a good core issue article that you can use as bait on your website. You can use it as a first step for someone's interested. You know all of that. Someone on Wisdompreneurs just posted this morning. I was looking at it before I came online. They said, do you have a spiritual practice that you continue to do regularly, and how have you kept at it? And so people mentioned various things like meditation and this, that, and the other thing. And I said, well, I do have a spiritual practice, but something that has been more consistent with me than everything else is writing my article every week. It's sort of, when I don't do that, I don't feel like Action Plan Marketing and Robert Middleton. You know what I mean? It's sort of like, who am I? I'm not writing an article. I'm not sharing something. So, which really gets into another one, but, you know, do you feel confident in writing articles? Is your core issue article good enough, or could it be better? Is it really doing the same things as the marketing message does, only deeper? Is it triggering people to want to know more, or at least stay on your e-list, or something like that? How important are first impressions?
Pretty important.
Important, yeah.
There's a saying, you never get a second chance to make a first impression, which is one of the greatest sayings of all time, really, if you think about it. It's like, yeah, it's like, I don't have another chance, because the first impression is done. It's over. So, you know, our message, our materials, our report, whatever. As you know, I'm into jazz, and I have a particular artist. His name is Steve Touré. Touré is a trombone player. And he's played in the Saturday Night Live band for over 20 years, maybe 30 years, long time, since the beginning. Once in a while you watch Saturday Night Live, you can see him playing trombone. And that's his day job, but he puts out jazz albums. And in 1995, he put out an album that's near the top, maybe of the top 10 of all my 4,000 jazz albums. It's that good. I just love it. Absolutely. I've listened to it so many times. It's so varied. It's so interesting. It's so fun, blah, blah, blah. So as a result of that, I have bought every single one of Steve Touré's albums for the past 20 years, which is about, I don't know, 12 or 13 albums. Not one of them is as good as that original album. But that first impression of the album that I love so much, I keep buying them in hopes that I'll have another one that's as good as that. I sort of given up hope. They're good, but they're not like a masterpiece. You know what I'm saying? So that's a first impression. You know, it's interesting. And I have other artists like that, that I really love one album, so I buy most of their other albums. So are you making a first impression with that article that sees, wow, this is different, this is interesting, this is intriguing, this is getting me thinking about things I haven't thought about before in this particular arena? And it positions you as unique and special and smart and whatever you want to position yourself as. And so every day people are coming to my website and downloading my marketing plan workbook. And that creates an impression. And so many of the people that I've gotten as new clients in the last week or two, they've been on my list for a long time. They got my InfoGuru manual or the workbook or something, and they kept at it. They've been getting the email newsletter sometimes for 5, 10, 15 years. Some people have been on my list. And finally, they decided to actually invest some money and take their marketing to the next level. Leanne, how long were you on my list?
Probably 10 years, something like that.
10 years. Well, Carol?
10 years too.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
And you, Oliver?
Got more than that.
More than that?
Yeah. Yeah, forever it seems.
Well, it also shows that longevity pays out, you know. At some point, people are getting value, and at one point they go, I need some hands-on help. Now is the time. And who else would you go to but the person you've been getting information from for a long time? So that initial article. And so the next piece is your sales letter.
Robert. So it's marketing message, and then is it first impression, and then sales letter? Is that what?
Well, there's no absolute order in this. Okay, so the second one was articles, which give a first impression.
Gotcha.
A core issue article. You think of, you know, this is, they'll only get a first article from me one time. Why not make it the best I can? That really, you know, I've done various articles. It seems the marketing plan toolkit or the marketing plan workbook gets the best response and the highest sign up rate. People like that the best. I've tried other things, but
that's a pretty hefty item.
And it is a hefty item. Yeah, it is. But, you know, it's an interesting thing about articles. Some articles, I think writing a short, pithy article that you can read quickly is good. But it's usually the really long, in-depth articles that get passed around more. Because I keep pointing to this article about how to increase your opt-ins, and I have that in the club. It's under new stuff, and that article is 48 pages long. Now it's kind of spaced a lot because it's on a web page. It would be condensed a lot on a Word document, but it's 48 pages long, and I've recommended that to dozens of people. And I haven't even completed reading the whole thing, but every point is really good and really interesting. And I even quoted it last week in my article on social media. So, you know, something memorable. So you can write a longer article for this, for sure. It doesn't have to be short really doesn't work for a core issue article. But it has to be interesting, engaging, formatted in a way that's engaging. You know, the way he's formatted that article is not just solid blocks of text. He has, you know, a block, a quote here, and a list here, and a thing here. You know, it's very easy to read, very accessible. Okay, so the other big marketing piece, which you've all worked on, is your HEOB letter or your sales letter. And I'm working with a few clients right now on their sales letter. One who it's like, I don't know, poking needles into your eyeball. Can you imagine anything worse than that? It's kind of like that for him. I forget sometimes how hard this is for people. But in working with him and giving him information and sending stuff to him and stuff, I came up with some important things. I'll post that under this, this on the mastery page. And the essence of a sales letter is really simple. this is what we've got, and this is the value of what we've got. Every sentence has to have some of that. Here's something we do, and here's the value of what we do. Here's a process that you go through, and here's the benefit of that process. Here's a step you take, and here's the benefit of that state. So it really comes down to the old thing that we've heard 10 million times. It's all about features tied to benefits. And, you know, there's a lot of ways to format it. You know, I have all these different sections, you know, in my coaching program. You know, the first is I say, is this you? So that's really not about benefits. That's just about identifying you. And then I say, do you have these problems? So like, even though you've had some success, you don't enjoy marketing or find it very effective. You're not currently satisfied with your marketing message, marketing materials, and marketing plans. You have challenges with the selling process. So you give them enough to have them recognize, but then we start to get into the benefits. So I have the core things, the two primary objectives, to work with you to create a marketing plan, a marketing approach that puts you and your business out there at a higher level where you attract better clients, get paid more, and make a bigger difference. So that's sort of the big sentence. And number two, to support you in building confidence and getting out of your own way, past your resistance, fears, limiting patterns and beliefs, so that you take action consistently, boldly towards your goals. And then I say what you can expect from this program: more clarity, more confidence, etc., but more clarity about what it takes to attract more of your ideal clients. So all of these are oriented around features and benefits to some degree or other. And the pitfall that we get into writing, what are the basic pitfalls of writing marketing materials like this? What do we write about that does not grab people?
How great we are.
What?
How great we are.
You know, how great we are. Yeah. Yeah. You want to keep that to a minimum. Yeah, you know, some websites, it's really, it seems to be all about them. They're just missing it. What else?
We go off on tangents that have nothing to do with the core message.
Right, yeah. And talking about there's a lot of P words in marketing. Positioning, practice, pricing, blah, blah, blah. There's tons of them.
I know, Robert. I know what you're getting at. Process. We talk too much about the process rather than the problems that they can identify with.
And yeah.
They don't care how it's going to get done. They just want to know.
Yeah.
Well,
they actually do care, but not at the beginning. You know, that's why I put some process stuff at the end. So if you scroll down my sales letter at the end, you know, I go, what will working together in this program look like? But it's simply, you know, here's the things that we do. This is what happened, but it's at the end. A lot of sales letters, that is the sales letter. They take all the value out and simply say, well, we'll meet, we'll talk, we'll do this. And people are going, well, so what? What does that mean to me? What am I going to get out of this? One of the tools to apply to writing any marketing copy like this is a two-word question. You know what that is? So what? I just said this. And then I asked myself, well, so what? So we do wonderful convoluted yoga poses. Well, so what? That will help you align your spine and give you abundant self and vitality. So that's why we do these whatever poses. So there's a benefit in it. The so what is the benefit. And it's so easy to fall into talking about it all. But there, at the end, so what? It's like, what does it mean to me? It's not answered. So anyway, you can never fine tune a sales letter enough. You can always write a better one. You can always write one that that communicates it more clearly. The thing that I've learned over the years is how to say a lot of this but make it concise. Short sentences, not long paragraphs. I call them bullet sentences, not bullet points of three words, but complete ideas, but just one sentence per bullet, then a paragraph, sentence, 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 like that for a particular piece. One of the things they say about copywriting is sometimes we take too much time at the beginning to clear our throat. You know, blah, 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 process, process, blah, 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 blah. And then finally we get to the benefit. Sometimes we can eliminate all that preamble and, you know, get to the heart of it more quickly. Are you having these problems? Another way that we tend to, mistake we make is writing as if we're writing a book or an article that's editorializing. So I've seen, it's like, well, why are you telling me this? Why are you going into the long history of God knows what? That belongs in New Yorker magazine. It doesn't belong in a sales letter. It's interesting, but it doesn't really get people motivated to work with you. Okay, so the next piece is the big overarching humongous whale, which is the website. And you've got the overview for the website. You've been all working on your website. Leanne has put a lot into her website, and now she's finding that people are reading the website, and they're sold now. It's like a whole different thing. Because we added more detail, more explanation, more steps, clarity about what to do, clarity about the calendar, all of those things. So she's nodding. Yeah, it's working better, right?
It is. And I can see it in the statistics that I get from Yelp and Google. You know, the numbers have just gone up dramatically.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Yeah, and you did a lot better on your homepage. You read the homepage and you really get a sense that this is a cool thing and it's valuable and interesting and you know what you're doing and it's very solid. And that does resonate with people.
And I've had a number of people come in and say, well, I talked to fill in the blank yoga studio. And, you know, it wasn't quite what I was looking for. And then I found you.
Yeah, exactly.
So, which is, you know, I mean, what I offer is very different from what people get in other places. So it's nice that that's coming through.
Yeah. Now don't mess it up.
What's the mess up? I come in the door, I am who I am. You know, yeah, talk about authentic. Yeah. That's what it is. You either like it or you don't.
Well, I futzed around with the homepage for my website and changed it about 5 times last year. And it was like, and then at one point I was showing it to my friend Patrick. And he said, Robert, I don't understand all these pictures. Why are they here? I'm not relating to them at all. Take them off. And instead of saying, well, I know what I'm doing. After all, I'm a marketing coach. I've helped thousands of people with their homepage. I said, yeah, you're right. It sucks. And I just, and then I showed him the new page and he says, yeah, that really resonates. It's simpler. It's more to the point. You know, I was looking at design plus things. I was just experimenting with a lot of things. Anyway, I'm sort of at a place where I can be happy with it, and you should be too. So don't futz around with your homepage anymore. I don't think you need to. So, you know,
I futz around with it is when I change the schedule.
Right, and that's fine. Now, Oliver had a site that looked like the generic site of the century, right, Oliver? And his designer wasn't very creative, so we just put a banner on the top and did a few other things and just, you know, just the look and feel of it. And Carol, as Carol knows, she's, her project sometime next year probably is to change her site, but she's, I won't go into why she's putting it off, but she has very valid reasons. But I said, you got to work on your homepage because you can just change that. That'll make a difference. So,
and you know what made me feel so much better? I had a client tell me just yesterday, like, I forget how it came up because we weren't talking about websites, but she's like, yeah, like, I really like your website. And I was feeling so down about, oh, I won't be able to really do what I want to do with it. She's like, yeah, that really helped me, like, pick you over other people. I said, well, was it the Psychology Today profile or was it my website? Because I was curious, because some people, I think they're the the same thing. And she thought about it. She said, no, it's your website with the green. Yeah, I really related to it. I'm like, oh, good. That's good. You know, the more I look at it, the more I hate it. Yeah. It's like how you are with your own stuff. You look around, like looking at your house, that you decide you need all new furniture, and there's really nothing wrong with it. I mean, I'm not saying it doesn't need work, and I'm going to, like you say, like work on the homepage and other little things here and there, but it's not so bad.
Yeah, look, the average person seeking therapy is not a design consultant, you know. They're not someone that's, you know, but, you know, you've got a lot of good information on your site. You know, you different sections about the hypnosis. You've got a lot of stuff to read there, and it's clear and it's well written, and all that's good.
There are so many therapists that do not have a website at all. So just the fact that I have one, because with the Psychology Today, you have your profile. And I think for many, they just said, that's enough. You know, there's a little blurb about you, you got your picture, you got your information. So why spend the money on doing a whole website when you have to pay like $35 a month for that? So just having a site alone is a step up, I think.
And there's what Carol did is she looked for good websites of therapists, and she found a particular designer that had designed four really good therapy websites. I mean, modern, up-to-date WordPress sites that are really visually nice and well-written. She said, but it was so hard to find anything of that quality out there, just anything whatsoever. So who knows? People have various criteria for selecting. So you just, you know, I think I got this quick story. Someone called me years ago when I was developing websites. She says, I developed this website. I had a designer, a top designer. It cost me $20,000. And that's when people were paying $1,000. And I said, wow, that's a lot of money. She says, why are you calling me? Well, it's not getting me any clients. And I said, well, yeah, I think I'd make it simpler and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, she had a lot of, it was black with reverse white and stuff like that, hard to read. It was very arty anyway. So we decided, we set a time to start working on it. And then a week later, I got an email. She said, my website just won a design award, so I'm going to stick with it as it is. So would you rather have a design award or get clients from your website?
Clients.
If you can get both, fantastic.
True.
But I've seen really
beautiful work.
You know, it's... there's a lot of designers that really don't understand marketing. It's like, okay, that 10-point font that looks so cool, that is in 25% gray, no one has ever read that once, ever. It's impossible. You can't get past the first line. But it looks so nice, et cetera. Anyway, so a website is an ongoing project. Hey, Sarah. Thanks for joining us.
Hi.
And who else is on? Okay, right. So we got four of us on now. So we're talking about sort of some of the main pieces of marketing, just as a review, a marketing message, articles, HEOB letter, website. The other is, for me, the most important part of my marketing, which is keep in touch marketing. Look, if you'd known me 10 years ago, but you hadn't been getting my e-zine, you'd be getting there right now. How would you? You wouldn't get my notice for the class. So, you know, some people don't have to do the extent of what I do. But, you know, even someone like Sarah, Sarah needs to connect with certain kinds of people in the community that can appreciate her kind of work. So she might have a small list. But those people should know what you're doing, the kind of clients you're working with, your ideas about autism, et cetera. And it might be a 100-person list, but that could be a very powerful list. It's not people on the autism spectrum that you need to have on your list. It's people that are HR companies and people that can refer you to that and people in the medical profession and all those kinds of people. How do you get those people following you? So Oliver is great at this. Oliver's doing a weekly easing, right?
Yeah.
And you're writing a good solid article every week. So just keep it up. It's great. Keeps you busy.
It's a 4 or a 5. I need to get a little better response out of it, but still, you know, it's getting done.
Now, is it getting posted on your blog as well?
It's just a blog, and I send it to a couple of hundred people.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, so it's...
Well, those articles are always up on the internet. And over a period of time, I think a lot of... What's that?
Oliver, you should put it on your LinkedIn profile, too.
Yeah, you know, Leanne, it's something I've been going to get to for months now.
It's easy to do.
It's easy to do.
If you already have the content.
Yeah.
These little things that take months, that when you do them, they take 5 minutes, and you go, why did I take 3 months to do it? But anyway. So the point is about writing and writing an e-zine and having a blog is those articles are on your website and on the internet forever, as long as your website is up. And I still get subscribers. A lot of those people simply found an article and went to my site, and then they read a few other articles, and then they signed up. You know, so who knows? Articles can really lead to business. It's the whole you know, field of this is called content marketing and inbound marketing. So to some degree, a large percent of my subscribers come from inbound marketing, people finding my articles, and the other ones come from referrals, people passing along my article. Because I get the most subscribers on Tuesday, and that's when I send out my e-zine. So the only thing I conclude without, you know, I've done great technical analysis, but I think I'm getting people passing them along and people signing up. You know, it doesn't happen all the time, but it's like every once in a while someone says, this is the best article you've ever written. And then someone, this is the best article. So you never know what's the best for a particular person because it hit that issue for them. And those are the kind of people that share it on Facebook or pass it along to other people. So good content. So that's Keep In Touch Marketing. I call the Keep In Touch Marketing the gas in the car. You've got the car, which is your website. It's your business. It's the hub of everything. But without some kind of Keep In Touch Marketing, you don't have the gas. Now, Carol is thinking, I got more clients than I can handle right now.
Going, because I mean, it can drop off at any time.
Yeah. You know, I think that's one of the biggest arguments for Keep In Touch Marketing, because I've had a lot of people. Well, a good example was Nancy Clift, that she said, Robert, I just stopped. You know, this happened and that happened, and I just stopped marketing, and then I got dropped from the 3M list, and my business is way down because I hadn't been keeping in touch. So we simply started a very personal Keep In Touch Marketing plan, which is to call people and meet with people and blah, blah, blah. And within a couple months, she got on the 3M list and has gotten projects since then. And things are just happening because she's out there and keeping in touch. So there's more than one way to keep in touch. So whatever it is, you've got to have a strategy around that, which I'll be talking about in a minute. I'll talk about that last, you know, implementing marketing action plans. The next one is the selling process. I can't tell you how that's really evolved for me over the years. And the thing that I've discovered more than anything is it's like 80% listening. I'm trying to resist my impulse when I'm doing the selling process to tell them anything. Sometimes it depends, but just asking, what do you want? Where are you going? How's that working for you? Blah, blah, blah. Tell me more about that. And at the end they say, yeah, I want to work with you. And I haven't hardly told them anything. But sometimes I do. Sometimes I give them a tip or a strategy or an idea or whatever, but it's mostly listening. So even if you look at the whole process, this whole list of questions, more than anything else. Look, most of you aren't having problems with this. you know, Oliver's not getting enough meetings yet, right, Oliver, to have enough selling conversations. But when he does, he's pretty good at it.
Actually, he's getting better.
Getting better.
Yeah, I the last couple of weeks, I followed Carol's reach out, say, hey, I haven't talked to you for a while, blah, blah, blah. And my phone has been ringing nonstop since we got into this meeting. It's like, okay, people, go away, one at a time.
So what, for everybody's enlightenment, what exactly did you do differently?
Hold on a second. I just started reaching out to people to build up, you know, people I hadn't talked to for a while, as opposed to sending emails. And I sent them an email or made them a voice call and said, we haven't talked for a while. Let's get in touch. And I think I've got, since last night, and I'm waiting for a plumber, so I might have to hang up. But I think I've got like 14 calls between last night and this morning. And it's like, okay, people, one at a time. I should give them an hour, you know, like take a day. But
take a number. Yeah,
and they're all potential good referrals. So
yes. Thank you, Carol. At last, you're having the breakthrough you've been looking for.
I'm not sure I want it, but it's okay. I'm basically lazy.
Well, you know, let me show you something.
The question is, are you doing what you love?
Yeah, pretty much. Really. Life's good. Life's real good. I could do without hanging curtains and all the rest of the stuff. But,
you know. I noticed the latter.
He's gone through a transition from being in, he was in Ecuador before he started the class, and he was in Florida for several months, and he moved to Arizona, bought a house, and there.
Swore I'd never be a homeowner again, and now it's like, okay. And, you know, I think I'm colorblind, but we go look at stuff, and she'd say.
I love that red sofa, and your wife says, you mean the green one?
Yeah. And curtains are curtains. They're to keep the sun out or, you know, the neighbors out. No, God, no.
Okay, let's stay focused on marketing here. So So look at this little thing here, Oliver. This is a chart. So people responded and sent a response. So I print out the response, and then I write their name on, and then I write the date that we're meeting. And okay. Then check marks are the ones that have turned into clients so far. So I just, you know, I create very simple systems to track things. This is all I need to track these people. Because these are short-term, not long-term. Either they'll become a client or they won't. And then I can look and go, okay, Tom is coming up and here's the date and it's on my calendar. Then I go back to the application. I look at his website. I think about his business a bit. Then we meet and then blah, blah, blah. So you want, it's like each of those, you want to say, are they someone that I need to have a deeper conversation with? And then I have to schedule that and go through the process. But keep on top of it. Keep organized with it. Create lists. Sometimes I say lists are the key to success. Because you can't keep it all in your mind. It just gives you overwhelm. Hey, look, it's good news, Oliver, if you're getting 14 calls that you have to get back to. You cannot spin that negatively. That is not permitted.
No, it's not. It's just that everything comes at the same time.
I know. Well, Just find a way to organize it. You can do it.
Take a nap and think about it.
Right. Take a nap and think about it.
I'm kidding.
Okay.
It really does take too much work to get responses. So if they're like gold, they have to be taken care of.
Yeah, absolutely. Which takes us to the next point, which is your marketing mindset. You know, some people work on this a lot. Some people don't have a big issue about it. Some people struggle more. You know, one of the biggest breakthroughs in life is when you realize a thought is just a thought. It's no more significant than your furniture. especially negative thoughts. You know, in your mind and in your field of perception, you have a number of things. Like in my office, I can see my clock, my lamp, my printer, my computer, my painting, my books, my light, my windows, my desk. I can see all of those things. And like my furniture, I also have thoughts called, this is going to be hard to do. I can't get around to this. This is impossible. Blah, 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 blah. It's not any different than a lamp on my desk. Unless I decide to invest it with a lot of, what's the word? A lot of meaning. Oh, I don't want to do this. That means blah, blah, blah. It doesn't mean that. It's just, you're making up meanings. As a therapist in the group, Carol, you'd agree with that, right?
All day long.
So, the more I work with the stuff, the more it's like you're less identified with the thought over your face controlling everything. So if you got a thought that's holding you back, you gotta dig it out and see that it's just a thought. We had a bit of a conversation about this last night, right, Sarah?
Yes, we did.
You know, can I share some things? Is anything we shared last night ultra confidential or anything?
No, there was nothing. Go ahead.
She said, I don't want to speak at a Rotary because it's just old white retired guys.
That's not what I said. I said, I don't see what I have in common with them in my mind. They're just old. I didn't say I don't want to speak there. I just said it wouldn't have occurred to me as a place to speak because that's how I see them.
Right. Yeah, I'm not saying you're prejudiced. It's just sort of like you. And so I said, look, these are people that contribute to the community. They're interested in people. They're interested in self-growth. They're very, and sometimes they're old geezers, but they're good old geezers. Really. So I said, and I don't know, you know, when you're reaching out to connect with people, one of the first thoughts is they won't be interested. They're not the right people. I'll be rejected. You know, we have a litany of them. It's almost like we could set them to music. I should have somebody write a song about that because that would be pretty funny. All the reasons why we can't connect. You know, there's endless reasons, but they're no more significant than the lamp on your desk. All those reasons. We got to find, it's like, okay, but I want to get a talk. Well, let's find a reason that's different than that. Well, they might connect me with someone. They might have, who knows, they might need it. They might know someone that could lead me to somebody else. Those are just as valid, if not more. And you say, okay, well, let's check it out. Anyway, I could talk about mindset forever, but just this whole thing of treating your thoughts like furniture. You got a lamp in your head there, Sarah?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, so the last one I want to talk about in a little more depth, and I touched on this with you yesterday, Sarah, is marketing action plans. And a marketing action plan is taking on a project and really making it into a thing and putting your all into it. Marketing action plans are, everybody's wandering around here. Where are you, Leanne? I think your mom is in the background. You're at your home? Your mom's home or someone? Who's in the background? Yes, you, Sarah.
Yeah, I'm at my mom's house. That was my niece walking
there. Your niece, okay. Okay. So marketing action plans are a tool designed to get you out of your comfort zone. So your comfort zone is randomness. Randomness, whatever we're doing before, it's incremental steps. It sort of happens when it happens. It doesn't have a lot of intentionality. It's just sort of comfortable and easy for us to do. And if we want to go to the next level, It's not about working harder or longer, although that might be a component of it. It's about taking on a big project with the intention of producing a big result. And when I was working on this and thinking about this and writing this, I looked at all the big breakthroughs that I had in my business, and they were taking a leap to produce a particular result. Like when I did the plan to speak to as many organizations as I could in the Silicon Valley area, and I got all these talks. And when I launched the InfoGuru Marketing Manual, and when I created a website that I called my Freedom Site, the purpose of my Freedom Site was to have financial freedom by selling products online. And I really accomplished that. You know, as a result of that, I bought a house and paid off my house in 10 years. So it wasn't just, I'm going to try to do some online marketing. And that's what people do. We try to do something kind of, but it never turns into a project with an aim, a goal, specific steps, looking at all the barriers, you know, a real project. So real projects are what leads to big breakthroughs in the next step in your business. And, you know, sometimes we create a real project like Carol did, and she had a 7-week program. And then she went for another real project, which was the stress workshop, and it crashed like a lead balloon, right? Mm-hmm. At least you gave it the old college try, as they say. You gave a shot at it. And you went, okay, for whatever reason, the audience, the topic, the format, I don't know. We don't really know why people didn't go for it. Maybe you just don't have enough people on your list. I don't know.
Sometimes I find, too, I have to put something out there a couple of times. Like the first time I'll get like 0 or 1 or 2, you know. But then the second time I put it out there and like, oh, it's full.
Yeah. Did I tell you about my experience of doing the marketing action groups? Probably not. Well, just before I moved, I created a marketing action group. And what I did is the whole time is I taught people all the steps and techniques of marketing, how to do this, blah, 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 blah. At the end of it, no one had done anything. And I said, this sucks. This is no good. And then my wife, we moved to Santa Cruz soon after that, and my wife attended a writing class. And the way the writing class worked is the leader didn't lecture about writing. What everyone did was brought some writing that they worked on in the week, and then they read their writing, and then they got feedback on it. And I said, well, maybe if I give people assignments, and then we talk about those assignments, then people will actually take action. It was a very simple concept, and that turned into the marketing action groups, which I did about 25 to 30 of them over a period of three years, from 2003 to 2005 or so, 5 or 6. Because, now, as you said, Leanne, I tried one thing, I got people for it, but it just wasn't right. So I was puzzling about that for 6 months to try to figure out what to do, because it was like, I can't do the old thing. I got to do something new. And it just exploded. It was extraordinarily successful. So a lot of things I've succeeded at, I failed at first. So, you know, launching the groups, doing the mastery program, launching the club, all of those kind of things were big projects like that. So for instance, Carol, you might go, okay, well, if my list aren't attracting people, do you have a community college near you? Do they do adult education courses?
I'm sure they do.
Why not you leading one of them?
That never occurred to me. That's an idea.
Hence the concept of marketing coach.
Yes.
So that's how I started my business, Carol. I led classes on time management and organization at the College of Marin, which is, you know, just on the other side of the Golden Gate Bridge, north of the Golden Gate Bridge. And I did those, they liked it and they got a good turnout, and I did it once a quarter, and I did 6 or more of them over a period of a couple of years in the early days of my business. And that's where I got my first clients. So, You don't worry about, now it's not going to make you a lot of money. They don't pay you a lot, but it gives you exposure in the community. Mm-hmm. I've known people that have used that as their major marketing thing. They speak at a community college or do a course, and that fills their practice for the rest of the year. You know, at the end, they get names, they put them on the list, they blah, 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 things like that. So something you might want to consider. Because it's better to have, a 20, 30 people attend a class and not make as much money, but have those people remember you for a long time than make, you know, several hundred dollars, but it's only five people.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Better to have more people in your class. So those people know the kind of classes that work, and you write a little write-up for it and see if it goes. Anyway, so the question is... So here's the thing these projects have in common. Very focused target market, very clear about the issue that you're addressing for these clients, very clear about the specific program or service that you're offering, writing a step-by-step plan with a timeline, breaking things down to fit your schedule, spend a fair amount of time writing the sales letter and the emails, et cetera, and... really making it a thing. And this is, you know, I'm seeing after many years that this is the place where people break down. They create the foundation. They've got their message. They've even got their marketing mindset working better for them. But they don't have projects, campaigns that they're doing. And, you know, I don't know how I fell into this. I just figured it out somehow. That if you're going to get a result, you know, the first years I did sort of random networking and stuff. I did some classes, but at some point I got this concept of, you know, of really going all out with something. So with Sarah, I said the project I want to encourage you to take on is to get speaking engagements. Now, she's already got the indication that speaking is valued because she got two requests for speaking in the last month, right?
Four in the past 2 weeks.
Not two in the past month, four in the last 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So does that tell you something?
Yeah, for sure.
What does it tell you?
Well, I think that there are speaking opportunities out there, and I think that
Well, what else does it tell you? Other people can chime in on this too. This is important for you to really get because this can be a really big turning point or it can just be something that happened. It can make all the difference. It can be the breakthrough in your business. So the fact that she got four speaking engagements without really reaching out, people just had heard about her and they connected with her. Which means you must be doing something because people are hearing about you, right? But what else does it tell you? What's the biggest thing it tells you?
People want that information.
Yeah, that my message is valuable.
They want that information, and they see what you have as valuable.
Yeah.
If they didn't see you as valuable, would they want you to speak?
No.
No. So doesn't it make sense, a corollary to that, that if you contacted other organizations, they might be interested too?
Yeah, it does.
When I started giving talks, I got great response to my talks because I had really a lot of fun in giving talks. You know, I was just outrageous. I figured, what have I got to lose? You know, I would scream and rant and rave and do all kinds of crazy things. I mean, people really, this guy's got, he's passionate about this.
Yeah.
This is something, this got my attention. I want to know about this guy. Then I started building my list. So we often see, I used to write a lot of articles. Where did you get most of your clients? From my articles. Why'd you stop writing them? Oh, I just got busy. No, I'm struggling again. Well, you ever thought of writing articles again? Oh, I never thought of that. I mean, it's like, it's so obvious to take that. It's like, okay. So I would say, okay, I want to speak to any agency in the government, any business, whatever, where there's a possibility of there being people on the autism spectrum. And I want to be the person in Calgary that people would go to if there's problems with people on the autism spectrum who are adults. I want to be that person. So I'm going to speak all over the place. Speaking gets you notoriety like nothing else.
Yeah.
Networking does not get you notoriety.
Right.
Good to do networking, but it takes a long time. It's like you're the person on the stage delivering the information, passionate about it. Do you know that she's been working in this field for 20 years? People know that? This isn't something to just, she started her business just recently, but she's been working in this field for 20 years. She knows much in the tip of her little finger that most people know. You know, that's how much I know about autism, you know, right?
It's true, I do. And, you know, it's good, like what you say about networking and speaking. I think I'm a much better speaker than I am a networker. I tend. So I'm glad that now I really felt that speaking is an important part of building my business. I've kind of always known that.
Yeah. Well, you know who most of my clients are? They're introverts.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. Introverts are often very good at speaking. I don't know why it is exactly, but they don't like to go into networking events and bump into people, because they're in their own world. They create things, they work on things, and they love to put it out there. And so I've seen a lot of introverts be extremely good at using speaking for marketing,
right,
which is interesting. Who spoke up about something else? Who was that?
Carol
did, but I think she just had to leave. Yeah.
Oh, she had to leave?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then there were none. So you get what I'm talking about, everybody? It's like, so for Oliver, he's been working on a plan. I keep lighting the fire under every time I talk to reach out more, do a little bit more, you know, fill your schedule, and then you can stop marketing for a long time. You can keep sending out your newsletters, but it's like, if he has six clients that are paying him $2,400 a year, $2,400 a month, he's making, that's how much a month? That's $15,000 a month.
Not bad.
Yeah, not bad. Would that be okay with you, Oliver, if you get that many clients?
Sure. Like I had to think about it.
Well, you know, we wonder why we hold back so much when it's often there for the taking. You know, I've never met anybody or very few people that had so many past contacts that you could tap into. But it was sort of like, I'm driving around this neighborhood, and every house in this neighborhood is somebody I know. But I don't want to interrupt anybody by knocking on their doors. So maybe if I keep driving around, maybe they'll come out of their house and wave at me.
Yeah, saying, here, you're lost.
No, you're lost. If you got out of your car and just knocked on the door, hey, I'm in the neighborhood.
With my luck, they'd call the cops and say there's a fire.
Oh, stop that. They'd invite you in and say, what are you up to, Oliver? And all of a sudden, he starts to call more people, and 14 people want to talk to him. And it's like, it's almost hard for him to grasp. It's like, I don't want them to call. It's like, come on. So you're going to succeed at this outrageously, unless what?
Unless I stop doing it.
Yeah, it's called sabotage.
Yeah.
You know, it's a funny thing. It's like, because you're in this interesting place. You sort of want to be retired and you sort of want to work.
Yeah, I really don't want to be retired because I need something to do.
Yes, but you don't want to work as hard as you used to. You know, he's told me stories. He's been to so many countries. He's been to every vacation place. He's been all over the country. he had more mileage on his card that he could hardly use it all. He traveled so much. He's been into every hotel. I mean, he's tired of traveling, and he doesn't want to do that anymore. So it's a new thing, and it's almost too easy. It's like, okay, I have six clients. I meet them each of them once a week. So that's just, let's see, six meetings a week. And
9 hours.
What's that?
9 hours.
It's 9 hours a week. Let's see. So somebody wrote the four-hour, did you ever read that, the four-hour work week?
Tim
Ferriss?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, of course it's never 9 hours because there's administration. Okay. But, you know, even if you, it's sort of like the one-day work week. It's like you can work with all of your clients in about 9 hours, 1.5 days, whatever. So, and then you don't have to be working all the time. You can go and hike around in Sedona, which is a stone's throw away. You can enjoy. And it's like, well, how can I do that? How can I have balance where I don't work as hard but make really good money? It's like, it's the dream of so many people. Sarah, wouldn't you like to make $15,000 a month and only work 9 hours a week?
Sounds great.
Sign me up for it, right?
I'm in.
Right.
9 times 4 is 36.
Yeah.
So it's like $1,000 an hour.
Yeah.
Not quite. $500 an hour.
$500, yeah.
Right. Look, I can't even do as well as Oliver because I have independent professionals. I can't charge them $2,400 a month. If I did, they would just laugh. Are you kidding? If I had $2,400 a month, I wouldn't need you, Robert.
Yeah.
So, you know, I know a guy. His name is Frank Kern. He's an internet marketing guy. His fee for consultation is $7,500 a month. And he makes $175,000 a month or something great, insane like that. But he works with very high-level people that can afford that. I said, could I work with Frank Kern? I said, no frigging way. I mean, how could I afford $7,500 a month? Impossible. But that's what he does. He just went after the very high end. So, you know, you're going after bigger companies. And for what's $2,500 if they can increase their sales by 10, 20, 30%?
Nothing really.
Nothing really. So you have in many ways the ideal business, and yet it's like, oh God, I still
have action.
So it's like,
Robert, I'm older than you are.
Yeah, you're only like 3 or 4 years older than me. You're not that old.
No, I had a resource. I guess lucky.
The age is the mileage, right? See, yeah. He has a lot more miles on him than I do by a long shot. Literally. So, you know, all of these pieces of marketing, they're all important. It's like a puzzle. Some are more important at other times, but it comes down to what am I going to be doing? So I've, in the next month, what's a new project? What's something else I want to do? And then you create a plan around that and you make it important. And it doesn't mean you have to attack it like a mad fiend and work 24 hours a day. You know, I've been known to put in a lot of hours, really, I have, for certain things. Like developing the club and putting all the material in the club, it was insane. I don't know how many thousands of hours I put into that. But most things don't have to be that complicated. And Leanne can go, okay, well, I've got all these classes fulfilled. Now I'm going to try to get my... So her big push, I think, is to get more individual clients. And to really create a project out of that. It's like, how many would you have to have? You should always have numbers when you're doing a thing. I want to have X number.
I have numbers.
What is it?
Minimum 5, maximum 10 a week.
Minimum 5, maximum 10 a week. Okay. So they come every week or every other week or mostly every week?
Well, it doesn't matter. Whatever it is, it's 5 to 10.
Whatever the breakdown is.
Yeah, they could come. Some might come once a month. Some might come once a week.
And so what is it right now?
Right now, um, really right now I've got two who are coming consistently once a week. It kind of went, and then I've got some others who are, like I've got another one who's coming, she maybe comes like once a month, something like that, maybe once every 2 weeks. She's getting married, so right now it's kind of up in the air. And then I have a couple other people who came for privates and now they've transitioned to the group class. So that was another couple, you know. So it's kind of, I'm needing to refill those spots.
Right. So that's sort of the, you know, the golden ring, 5 to 10 consistently.
Right.
And what is the plan? What am I going to, you know, you've worked on a lot of things and we've talked about a lot of things and you're trying some of those things, et cetera. I still owe you a postcard. I've been so booked up. I haven't done it yet, but we'll get it done.
Great.
Quite soon. And, you know, getting a postcard about that out and blah, blah, blah. You're trying all kinds of little things.
Yep.
And that will get you there. If you're absolutely committed to it.
Yeah, I mean, it's the thing is, this is what I was saying, Oliver. I mean, it's fun. You know, it's unlike many other things I've done in my life, and I've been in a lot of different careers. I mean, when I book a new client, a new yoga client, I'm like, cool. You know, and I sit down to think about, ooh, what are we going to do? You know, what can help them here? You know, I mean, that's just a lot of fun. I don't, when I look at my calendar and I see someone's name on it for a yoga private, I'm like, great. It's just a totally different energy.
Yeah. And Oliver, you don't just want clients, you want great clients.
Yeah. No, I'm with Leanne. I mean, it is a whole different energy level when you're working with the right people, because it's fun and it's a learning curve for me too.
Yeah. And also, you know, you can be a little pickier about the clients. It's sort of like, I really am not trying to sell people who I talk to. I'm trying to see if there's a fit.
Yeah.
I want to work with them. I want to earn the income. All of that is there. But mostly I want to have a fit because I want to work with a client that isn't a pain in the butt to work with.
Yeah.
I've worked with a few. I just, you know, I want to have someone that I like, who I respect their work. I want to turn down other people. I got someone that applied that has some, I just couldn't understand her business. It's a, you know, cosmic radiation of the spheres and balancing energies with, I had no idea what she was talking about. I read her blog post. I was like, so I said, I can't help you. She sounded like a really nice person, but I just can't help you. So I focus on those that fill out the questionnaire that seem right and have a good conversation and it fits. Anyway, so we talked about a lot of stuff today. I hope it was valuable, but just to think of this big picture, it's all important. But especially these marketing projects or plans or strategies or campaigns, you know, that's really where you go to the next level. So when we talk to Sarah in a year, she's going to have so much business. She doesn't even know what her business is going to look like. Right, Sarah?
Yeah, I'm excited for that.
Yeah. Look, I thought you told me two. You got four?
Yeah, four talks. One at Walmart, one at the City of Calgary, one at a place called Champions Career Center. So that one I've already done. And the other one, I can't even remember the name of the company.
Who are you speaking to in Walmart?
Walmart, I'm speaking to their management team. But it's just one Walmart center. So hopefully that...
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know about Walmart. They're such a small company. I don't know. They don't have much money.
Yeah. It's one location that's decided autism is their cause of the year. And so they've contributed.
It's the freaking cause of the year.
Yeah.
Yeah. They need you as a consultant.
Yeah. They do.
So you wow them with this talk, and then you find a way to talk to them. You know, sometimes causes of
CIBC. The other client, CIBC, Canadian Imperial Bank of Commerce, is the other one.
Oh, another little tiny company.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know where the connections came from that, but look, what you've done, I mean, somehow your name is getting around to big companies. Mm-hmm. That should both excite you and scare you at the same time, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're ready for it or they wouldn't be there.
Yeah, they wouldn't. So that's really exciting. Mm-hmm. So you should be spending a lot of time in talk prep.
Yeah.
Making sure you give a great talk. But always think of it, it's not just the talk, it's what the talk leads to and what the follow-up and whatever. Because, you know, there's a lot of positions in Walmart. They have greeters, they have all kinds of people that don't need a lot of skills or whatever. I don't know. I have no idea. But they're making it the cause of the year.
Yeah, but that's just one store. That's not for the Walmart chain. That's one particular Walmart location here in
Calgary. Well, you do. If something happens, you never know. It could lead to other things like that. Mm-hmm. If Walmart corporate hired you, that's all you'd do.
Yeah.
I don't know if you want to do that, but it would be.
Yeah, I'd be okay with that.
Yeah. Christian, you know, you never want to get a client where it starts to feel like a job. You know, all of a sudden it's, you don't have that independence and creativity and all that stuff, but let's worry about that as the time comes. But that's exciting, really exciting. Yeah, I couldn't be happier. Okay, guys, so that's it for today. So we're meeting one more time, and I'm going to hope everybody comes except Leanne, and that's going to be, what's today? So that's going to be on the 27th, I would assume. Is that right?
Yes. That's Sarah. I'll be with my coaching community in retreat.
Okay.
Oh. Well, that's a good reason to miss.
Yeah.
But, of course, I'm interested in hearing from all of you. I'd love to, you know, hear how things are going forward.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Okay, that signals the end of our call, I guess. Thanks, everybody. Talk to you in a couple weeks.
Thanks. Okay, thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.